So good day. My name is Danette Breitenbach and I am the managing editor of BIS Community. It is my great pleasure today to welcome Alex Okosie, the managing director at Google Africa, to our BIS Trends discussion for 2025 under the theme Curating the Future. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, that's great. Let's kick off and chat a little bit about your role at Google. I mean, it's quite a big role. It incorporates so many things, developing teams, creating content, discovering global entertainment and talent, driving business programs and growth strategies in the region. So to achieve all of these objectives, I'm sure that you've got your finger on the pulse of what audiences want to consume. Can you tell us a little bit about how you go about anticipating audience trends and what they want to consume? What is your starting point?
Look, I think that in starting point in terms of trying to figure out what the audience trends are is really about how do you ensure that you're doing a lot of research, right? So for us, research is at the bedrock and the foundation of what we do on a day-to-day basis. Now, on a research standpoint, we have two incredible platforms. We have Google Search, and we also, of course, have YouTube. So one of the things that is really vital for us is making sure that we are looking at the data from these platforms and understanding what are the trends, what are people really, really paying attention to be able to understand that piece. The other piece is really, you know, of course, understand what the cultural relevance is. What's the zeitgeist of culture? And we do this by, again, using very, very data insight-driven sort of research that we do, again, extrapolate not only from what's going on our platforms, but what's going on in the ecosystems. You know, who are the influencers that are driving traction? Who's out there that's influencing, you know, trends? And really understanding how do we use these trends and insights to be able to then drive the decisions that we need to make. But the last piece, of course, is really about instinct. Instinct is important. I think that the experience of our vast sort of team of people is that, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and we are in market, right? So in the markets that we serve, we are in these markets. We're not trying to glean insights and trends from afar. Because of course, trends can vary from space to space, from region to region. So having that local understanding, having that sort of that grounded sort of play where we understand the ecosystem really enables us to now be able to understand what are going to be the trends that are shaping consumption, what are going to be the trends that are shaping consumer decisions, what are going to be the trends that are shaping business decisions, and trying to use that as much as we can to make the decisions we need to make. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we're trying to build Google products that really fit into our mission, which is to organize the world's information and make them universally accessible and make them incredibly helpful and useful. So that's in a lot of ways what we're trying to drive. And of course, understanding trends play a huge part in that.
So I always find it very interesting, like when a global company operates and then you have local nuances. And this always makes it quite exciting, actually, because you've got the global input and then you've got those beautiful local nuances. Now, Africa has got a lot of local nuances. Tell me a little bit about local nuances that have given you or that are insights for you as an organization to be able to build this content.
Look, at the end of the day, what we are finding is that local insights and nuances are really critical. But at the end of the day, they are global sort of phenomena and trends that quite frankly, all of us are looking at, right? So when it comes to content, for instance, a lot of trends are emerging. One of the key trends that we know is that there's a lot of AI-driven content creation that's now happening today. But what does that help do? That helps a lot of content creators to be able to develop content much more effectively at a much cheaper way and also much faster than ever before. So when you're looking at businesses, for instance, it's also an important trend for them to understand because it speaks to the two things. How are you equipping not only yourself as a business to leverage AI, and how are you also equipping your business to be able to unlock the value that AI has to offer, right? So that's an important trend to now figure out how AI ready are you as a business? Because AI, for the sake of AI, people talk about AI and it sounds like, you know, still some science fiction for some people, but it's not really that. AI is really that the reality that there's machine learning available because large language models now available, that I'm going to be able to now process in information and data at a much, much, much larger and a much faster rate. Meaning that being able to solve for the challenges you have as a business or as an entrepreneur or as a person, you can be able to solve and get answers that are much more robust on a very timely basis. So how are you leveraging AI? How are you playing with that? How are you playing with it? How are you dancing with it? How are you equipping your data to be able to help you make sure that you're collecting data that helps you win? The other important piece that we are seeing is that social responsibility is still an important part of what people think about. You know, how are you making sure that the work that you do as a person, the work that you do as businesses, are really, really, really contained to the sustainability of the world. And that's really important. But we're also seeing that the Gen Z demo is still having an outsized impact on what's going on. So that means that what's important to them is about authenticity, is about individuality. So how are you making sure that in what you create, in the services you offer, in the voice that you speak to consumers with, that you are being able to make sure that you are communicating those values, because that's really, really important. Now, we know what's happened over the last 4 years, right? You know, the COVID pandemic effectively changed our work-life balance in the way, well, not work-life balance, but how we work, right? So again, remote working. So it's really, really important that, again, you take these things into account as you're thinking about how do you make sure that you service customers? How do you make sure that you take that insight in mind? Because people are not just sitting at home. People are not just at work. There's that hybrid situation that you need to make sure that you consider as you offer solutions. But of course, South Africa itself has its own sort of unique sort of trends that it does offer. It's a very youthful population and on the continent, you know, and South Africa is part of that youthful era. And it's really going to be important that we understand what's really important to young people. And as I mentioned earlier, how authentic are you? How authentic is the voice in which you're reaching out to them with? But they're being influenced by a whole bunch of trends, whether it's music. You know, we're now seeing, you know, South African music also having an impact on global culture. You know, you're seeing talent and influences, I'll call it that, like Tyler winning global awards. These are important because what they do is that they do create that sense of hope, optimism, excitement from the young people that they can truly participate in the global culture, in the global economy. So what you do as a business is to make sure that the values that you espouse are values that says that you can really achieve beyond your borders. You can really be part of, you know, making the world great.
And I have read quite a bit about what Google is doing to help young people, young content creators, musicians, you know, or entrepreneurs. Can you expand a little bit on that? And can you talk about a little bit about the kind of assistance that you are giving and why that assistance is given in on this continent? What makes it unique to the continent, which is, like you say, very youth-driven?
Look, I think that it goes without saying that over the next 4 or 5 years, again, not 10 years, not 20 years, but over the next 4 or 5 years, the global youth population in this continent will be more than 40%, right? So Africa will hold more than 40% of the global youth population. What does that mean? That means that we need to be really, really, really primed to enable, make sure that these young people are skilled, especially in digital skills, right? We talk about AI all we want to, but the foundations of AI is going to be, how are you able to actually harness the power of digital to make the continent transform in the way we want it to transform? So for us, being able to provide digital skills, you know, I take great pride and, again, you know, with great humility as well, that we've trained over 6.5 million Africans over the last 4 years on digital skills. What does that mean? That means that those that we've trained are able to unlock opportunities that they can use to in a variety of different ways. If I'm a young creator, what, you know, how am I understanding the digital skills required to be able to make sure that my content is not only bound by the audiences I can reach on the continent, but also beyond? We find that our YouTube creators, for instance, are making more money from audiences in the US and the UK and everywhere else, which is really, really fantastic, because it means that they can then be able to sustain their creativity and sustain their livelihoods. We're also finding that these digital skills are helping a young entrepreneur, for instance, in Ghana that I just learned about. And there's many more stories like this that are now able to use the digital skills that she learned from our certification courses to really accelerate the growth of our e-commerce business. Now, that's fantastic because it's not just about her business. It's about the people that she's also able to employ, this huge amount of young people that hopefully are employable by her because of her business getting bigger. So in a lot of ways, there are unique things about the continent that we still need to solve for, right? The cost of data is still high. Infrastructure investments, us investing in subsea cables to be able to make sure that we drive down the cost of digital accessibility is really, really critical because the digital divide is still vast. Now I'm excited because over the next 3-4 years, we see that over 50% of Africans will be online. I think that's going to open up a world of opportunity for our Africans, for our young people. But all of that still matters not if they don't know how to really leverage the skill sets required in this digital age to really be able to self-actualize and be able to create opportunities for themselves, their families, and the communities that they come from within. So for me, those are things that are a little bit more peculiar to us. We got to solve for digital access. We got to train. And of course, some of the things that we do, like our Hustle Academy for small businesses, our accelerator programs that we have for startups, are things that we use to sort of help to make sure that we drive the small businesses, which make up about 70% of this continent's economy is driven by small businesses. It's critical that we're providing them with training, that we're providing them with tools, that we're able to understand how to market their businesses, how to raise money, how to be much more efficient in terms of the way they go to market, so they can be really, really successful. So those are some of the things that are a little bit more specific to our continent that we need to solve for. And that's why I get excited about the work that I do, because and now I'm not only able to focus on how do we sell ads and help, you know, businesses grow, whether they're small or big, but also how do we solve for some of these things like skilling, you know, how do we solve for infrastructure and really investing in it. And I'm sure you probably know that, you know, about 4 years ago, we of course committed $1 billion to being able to drive the, you know, technology transformation on this continent and digital transformation. And the results are bearing fruit, right? We're excited about that. We commissioned research last year with our independent consultancy called, you know, Public First. And they came back with results that said Google tools and services stimulated the African economy by $16 billion. Now, again, doesn't sound, for me, it's not us bragging about it. I think it's actually encouraging news that then can inspire other businesses to kind of make these sort of investments.
Yes. That's very inspirational. So we've spoken about, let's say, the cost of data, the digital divide, and then infrastructure. What else is needed to be in place for us to have, let's say, success in 4 to 5 years, to see that these young people are employed and that are working for themselves, and that the youth on the continent is actually kind of pulling the continent? You know, we always talk about Africa rising, but that is what they do.
Listen, I think that it, again, as I mentioned, is like for us, we look at it as kind of four pillars. One is the infrastructure piece, and I've talked about that. You know, how do we continue to invest in great infrastructure that brings down access to internet, so more bandwidth, and brings down the cost, right? Now, that work also extends to what we need to do with the phone manufacturers to bring down the cost of handsets, right? Right now, making Android as a free, you know, open source OEM, open source operating system actually enables our OEMs to be able to produce phones or manufacture phones that are like $50 a pop for smartphones. That can be really helpful. Working with, you know, telcos to say, how do we introduce device financing? Now, again, access to technology and all these things for a continent that's very, very mobile first is critical for education. If I'm a young person and I need to learn new skills, how am I going to access the internet? How am I going to access some e-learning opportunities to be able to do that? It's going to be through the internet, right? So setting that foundation, the training, how do we train? How do we continue to train at scale, right? But then beyond the training, how do we create job opportunities, right? So again, job opportunities are twofold. How do we encourage the entrepreneurs, those that want to create businesses? And how do we also scale up those that want to work for those businesses that are created, or for large businesses like Google. I think that's going to be really critical. But more importantly, it's also about partnerships. It's not Google's job alone to be able to do this. We have to work with the communities we serve, with academia, and with civil society. We also have to work with government. How do we work with government to make sure that there are policies in place that enable innovation? One of the things that we're really excited about is the work that we've done with the AU to be able to frame a startup bill. Now, that startup bill, in a lot of ways, if adopted by a lot of the member states, means that it's a framework for being able to help small businesses start. How they register? Are there any tax incentives to help them grow? Are there ways to which to sort of take away all the bureaucracy that you know can really stunt the growth of a small business? Are there things that governments need to invest in to make the ecosystem a lot easier for business to be able to grow? Those are some of the things that are really, really crucial. But I truly believe that as Africa, we can solve it. Of course, businesses like Google, businesses like other entities that are in the tech space or in every single sector must invest. But these investments are not just about, oh, we just invest into. It's investments that we believe will yield a return because we truly believe in the potential of this really creative, innovative, resilient, you know, sort of culture and people on the continent. That's why I'm excited about what we're doing.
So that brings me to sustainability and purpose. I mean, these are two very important things. Tell us about what is your vision for the future in terms of sustainability. So we've spoken about, you know, what needs to happen for young people to succeed. What do you see once they do succeed? What do you see happening?
I think that's the age old question. I wish I knew all the answers, right? And I'd be like this amazing fortune teller. However, I think that once they do succeed, it's going to be about how do they really make sure that communities that they're part of are also succeeding. Because some of the things that we find on the continent over time have been, we've had incredible success stories, but that's not enough. We have to make sure that the communities in which people come from are also sustainable for growth. We have to make sure that the infrastructure required to make sure that people achieve at least the basic level of livelihood is also in place. So that's going to be work that we need to do across the board. From a governmental perspective, how do we make sure that, again, oftentimes the challenge that we don't recognize is that for a lot of our regulators, they also need to understand the potential of some of these measures. They also need to learn and understand how to leverage some of these. And oftentimes we take it for granted that they should know. At any given point, it does require a learning mindset from all of us involved to say, what do we do in the future and how do we make sure that it's sustainable? I think the path to that is going to be doing the ABCs, so doing the basics, making sure that communities are being led by people that understand what needs to be done, and that we as in business and private enterprise are also in partnership. So it's not a pointing the finger perspective thing, but it's actually about how do we partner to make things work and to make them sustainable. And I think that the other thing that we need to do is really we have to build a mindset right now across the entire value chain that is Africa's opportunity shouldn't be continue to be just opportunity. We now need to, how do we realize it? Otherwise, it's a story about potential that we can talk about for the next 10 years. And I think that how we realize it is by every single one of us taking on the ownership that they are part of the solution. How do we come up with solutions? How do we solve together? And how do we come together as Africans, right? And solve our own challenges, leveraging all the know-how that's now available. With access to the information that AI provides, with us also being part of this language model data sets, we need to make sure that the AI that's being developed is inclusive of all of the nuances that Africa has to offer so that we can benefit from the upside of what it is. And we don't miss this revolution because we're too busy stuck on, you know, the challenges that it may present.
In a nutshell, what is the biggest challenge that you're facing?
Look, I think that the biggest challenge that we're facing at this stage is still there's a few things to solve for, and we need to do it really quickly. I think that, you know, we need to make sure that these investments that we've made, you need these huge investments in undersea cables, these investments that we're making in skilling, these investments that we're making in terms of helping entrepreneurs sort of, you know, come to life and fast track their growth. We need to make sure that we're doing it together, right? We're together with other entities that are believing the same vision. Because to be honest, as you know, while we've made great economic impact and there's independent, you know, research that shows that, we can't do it as just Google. It's an ecosystem play. That means that everyone needs to play their part. But if we all come together, and which I think where the challenge and the opportunity lies, if we all come together to work on this collectively, I think that's when Africa will truly rise. So I think that's still the challenge. How do we make sure that we aggregate enough players in the space that are aligned in this common vision? Because I think people talk about, you know, the rise of Africa, but I don't think there's been a collective push enough. And we're seeing some of that with the great work the AU is doing. But again, it's not about being able to, you know, create frameworks. It's how do you really truly get, you know, the nations to buy into it. So you can have an AI framework. If, can you imagine an Africa with a single AI framework that is rolled out, that means an entrepreneur in Johannesburg can have access to markets beyond their borders. They can have access to the Nigerian market, to the Kenyan market, to the Ghanaian market. That's going to be a game changer. But it's going to really believe, you know, it's going to really be all of us coming together and saying, let's look at the opportunity. Let's bring down the barriers and the reasons why we shouldn't do business or we shouldn't collaborate, and collaborate together to, you know, for us to really be able to rise. So I think that is the challenge, but I'm really optimistic that it's an opportunity more than a challenge, because I do think that there are more and more people and more entities that are truly very clear that we have only one choice, and that is to build the future that Africa is playing a huge role in.
That's great. I was going to ask you about what do you think is the best or the greatest opportunity, but you've answered that question very well. And I think I'm going to leave it there, because I really love what you've said about coming together and working as communities. And it is a big thing on the continent. We do work together in communities, but there is this kind of trying to pull it together. And yeah, I think it's a big job, but I think, yeah, it's a great thing to be able to do.
No, listen, I really do. And thanks for the opportunity to be here. I do think that, again, this is just to be really honest. I think that the work that you do as BIS Community, obviously I was on the other side of the fence doing media before, so I know about BIS Community. I think that the work that you do and the work that everyone does to promote the positive aspects of the opportunity we have is gonna be a complete sort of inspiring mode as well, to get people to see the opportunity versus the challenges. Of course, there's challenges and we got to solve for them. But in those challenges are the opportunities for business, for entrepreneurs, for those that really want to roll up their sleeves and get involved.
That's really great. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing some of your insights. We really appreciate it. And I hope we'll see you again on Biz Community soon.
Indeed, indeed. Always, always, always open to be here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.